Good morning and welcome to our Celebration of Joy worship service. A reminder to everyone that no matter who you are, no matter what is happening on your journey of life, it is God who welcomes you here today. And so do we. We are so very, very glad that you are here. Special welcome to visitors. We're always happy to have visitors here at San Marcos Lutheran, and we hope that you can make yourself at home. Everyone will find some welcome cards. They're the small beige cards in the pew racks ahead of you. And we invite everyone, visitors and members and kids, to take a moment and fill those out. And Pastor David and I will pray for you by name following service. If you have any special prayer requests, prayer for yourself, for a loved one, confidential prayer, prayer for a prayer chain, Sunday prayers, include that on the back of the card, and we will include you and your prayers in our prayer ministries as you would like. Well, there are many ways to grow in discipleship and fellowship in this congregation. I'd like to draw your attention to a few of these opportunities. Today, immediately following our service, we invite you to come into Fellowship Hall. On the one side, there will be some time for fellowship and coffee, but if you'd like to, you can grab some coffee and some treats and come on over, and we will be discussing the Gospel of Matthew and any questions you might have or discoveries you've made in this practice of divine reading or Lectio Divina. So either of the above, the Gospel of Matthew or the practice, so come on over and let's talk about this together. Next week, Sunday, is blessing bags. I know everyone's excited about that. The youth will prepare them and get the cards ready, and then the entire congregation is invited to go over and assemble the bags and, of course, take them with you. Each one has enough food for one person for 2 days or for a family for one meal, and you give them out to whomever looks hungry, opening our eyes to see who's around us. We invite you also to be a part of our Wednesday service. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We will have two services, 12 and 7. 12 o'clock will be a spoken service, 7 o'clock sung. And of course, we will have the imposition of ashes at that time. Then we're in the season of Lent, and that means that we'll be having our soup suppers at 5:30 every Wednesday. And then 6:30, we'll have our half-hour Holden Evening Vespers beautiful service. So we invite you to come and hear what God is up to in members of the community right here in our congregation. I invite you also to pay attention to what's going on with our financial update and other opportunities, including if you're interested in working with other Lutheran churches in the area of immigration, refugees, and asylum seekers, we invite you to come to an event we have on March 21st. Please see other opportunities for flower charts and fellowship.
Let us pray. Lord God, you send forth your word, and there is light. Shine on us now with the light of Jesus, the light that shines brightly from the face of this one, who is your beloved Son. Help us to listen to him. Help us to follow in his light, and to have, and to be not afraid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our gospel story today is the story of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came, stooped down and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. It was a Sunday morning, and it was a little bit before 7, and the alarm had gone off, and the snooze button had been pushed several times. He'd lost track. From the hallway, an urgent voice came urging, pleading, "Jay, would you please get up and get ready for church?" "No, I'm tired," he yelled back from under the warmth of those covers. "Is it Sunday already? I don't want to go to church." "Well," she shot back, "I don't care. I don't care. I'm telling you, you just have to get up and go to church." "But," he yelled, "give me 2 good reasons." "Okay, then," she said, coming now into the room and getting right in his face. "For one, Jay, you're 56 years old, and that should be reason enough. And the second reason is you're the pastor." Yes, indeed, it happens to the best of us. Sometimes we need someone to get in our face and to tell us to get up and to do what we need to do, someone in our face telling us who we are and what we need to be about. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the moment we are face to face with God. God in our face telling us who we are and what we're to be about. I love this story. It's wild. It's crazy. It's wonderful. Story about light and these brilliant clothes. We have more details here about Jesus' appearance than we do in the resurrection stories of Easter. What he looked like. It's kind of a foretaste of Easter. But it's also a remembrance of everything that's happened so far in the Gospel of Matthew. This is a hinge story, very important. Matthew, who tells a story about the birth of Jesus and about the coming of the Magi, tells a story about the baptism of Jesus and when God says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." About Jesus teaching on that mountaintop and now his transfiguration. So now we've got the hinge in Matthew and we're going to head down the mountain into the valley as we follow Jesus and his disciples as they go towards Jerusalem, where he will die on the cross and be raised from the dead. This is our hinge of the church year. And it culminates in Easter. But today we're up on the mountain for a little bit. There are some mountain stories in the Old Testament that Matthew's congregation would have been aware of. And the chief one is the story of Moses up on Mount Sinai. And when Moses is there, there are clouds too, and there's this presence of God, but it's so intense that Moses is not allowed to look on the face of God and live. If he will look on that brightness, on that holiness, he will die. So you know what? Moses is allowed to see the rear end of God, but not the face. Too intense. Another mountain story is Elijah, who is hiding in the cleft of a mountain when he's on his run, running away from the powers that be. And God goes by, the presence of God. But again, Elijah can't look at the face of God. And God passes by and he sees his rear end, but not his face. That's the tradition up until now for the people of Israel. You could not look at the face of God and live. And now you have these two very same characters, figures, Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, who could not see the face of God and live. And now they're carrying on a conversation with Jesus. They're looking him in the face. This one who is God, they're face to face with God in the person of Jesus Christ. Before, not allowed. Could not happen. But because of Jesus, something new, something wildly new and wonderful is happening. No wonder Peter says, "Jesus, it's so good to be here. Let's put up some tents so we can stay for a while. Let's build some booths." And I don't think he was thinking along the lines of some TV evangelist who a few years ago created a Christian theme park with rides like the Mount Sinai runaway chariot ride or booze where you could pin a tail on the Pharisee. But he's thinking of the festival booths that they celebrated, where they got out of doors and they were in these tents. And they were closer to God. Let's stay up here where we're closer to God, Jesus, please. But before Jesus could answer him, they hear this voice. It's another detail that the cloud will come and we hear this voice. And the voice, maybe if we've seen the old movies, biblical movies, we know it's a bass voice and it's deep. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. That was the voice of God. I'm struck at this moment that how much God sounds like a proud parent. If you are parents or grandparents or godparents or aunts and uncles, maybe you know what that's about. Your young lady is the goalie and she's just prevented that opposing team from scoring. Or she sings a solo with the choir, or he walks across the stage and picks up another award, and you say to the people around you, that's my kid. That's my son. That's my daughter. You point it out. That's what God is doing here, pointing it out, telling the world, take notice, just as God did in Jesus' baptism. Pay attention to him. Wake up, world, and listen to him. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Yet how do the disciples react? They just heard the greatest news they could ever imagine, and they were alerted by God so plainly, so clearly, no doubt. How do they react? Just like good Christians have ever since, just like well-meaning Christian folks ever since. Whenever we hear that really good news, we're overcome with fear and we fall on the ground and we hide our faces. It's too good to believe. With fear and trembling, the disciples hit the ground. And we human beings have been doing the same ever since. You see, the story of discipleship isn't a clear path of deciding to follow Jesus and you have no bumps along the way and everything is fine and dandy. Faith isn't like that. None of us gets it all of a sudden. We fall down a lot. Quite regularly we fail. And when we do, you and I will cower in fear more than we like to admit, like those disciples. When confronted with the pure joy of the good news of Jesus Christ, we fall on the ground and we hide and we duck for cover where it's safe. Now this gives away my age, but maybe some people in this room remember it too. It reminds me of the times in elementary school that we spent under our desks and the duck and cover drills. You see how old I am. You go under your desk and you put your head down and you put your hands over your head and you duck and you hide your eyes because the flash of the nuclear bomb that's coming, you see, will be so strong. I remember once doing it two times in a week, and we asked our teacher why, and he told us, well, the communists have captured one of our ships, the USS Pueblo, and we're getting ready for a nuclear war. And this terrorized us as kids. I remember what made it bearable, though, were certain teachers. Teachers like my second grade teacher, Mrs. Lundquist, who made it a point after the drill was over to stoop down and gently tap us and say, it's okay. Get up. You're going to be okay. We're safe. I can still see that kind face. The face of the one that told me, do not be afraid. Duck and cover. I would outgrow those drills. I finally got big enough I couldn't fit under desks anymore, you know. And I think finally people realized you couldn't really protect yourself from an explosion of a nuclear bomb anyway under a desk. But in California, you'd still do it as a part of preparations for earthquakes. If there was an earthquake, you'd cover. A couple of years ago, I was teaching this story to our after-school the kids attending our after-school music and arts program. And I told them my story from elementary school, and without batting an eye, the kids told me, yes, we do that drill. We practice ducking for cover under a table, under a desk, preparing for a lockdown. Something that would never occur to me, sadly, preparing for a school lockdown in case of a shooting threat. Sadly, still teaching our children to duck and cover under the tables for safety. When I told them the story of the transfigurations, I had the kids go under the tables, and then one by one, I would come by and put my head down and say, "You're okay. Get up and don't be afraid. What do you fear? What sends us running for cover? Like those disciples, what sends us hitting the ground with fear and trembling? It's a list. Fear of a global pandemic? Or climate change? Or fear of a political system that seems so fractured and broken to our peril? What do you fear? And what in your personal life is causing you to run for cover? Do you fear you're not good enough at work? Or not popular enough at school with your friends? Or not smart enough or not good looking enough? What causes you to run for cover? Fear just not being lovable enough? What is it for you? Is it that you fear for a loved one who is going through a pain that's so great and there's nothing you can do to prevent it? What do you fear? See, fear stops us in our tracks and it paralyzes us. We know that as individuals and as God's people, that fear paralyzes us from walking in the light as disciples of Jesus. Life is hard. Life is complicated. And top it all off, as disciples of Jesus, we're given big issues to wrestle with. Issues of wealth and poverty, and how do we address the inequities that grow between those who are rich and poor? What about issues of peace and justice? What about issues of immigration? How do we work for a more peaceful world and more peaceful community and more peaceful families? As a congregation, we have challenges of doing ministry at this day and age. In this time and place, how do we do ministry in a changing neighborhood? How do we do ministry in a changing society where so many things compete for our time and attention? Those are big issues for followers of Jesus, disciples. And sometimes, you know, if you're like me, you're just tempted to run for cover and fall on our face and do nothing. But truth be told, all the challenges of life would be too much except for one thing. Notice the detail only in Matthew. When the heavenly voice stops speaking and the bright cloud disappears, the disciples are lying on the ground, ducking for cover and fear, shielding their faces from the light. And what does Jesus do? This Jesus who is no longer brilliantly white, but now beautifully dark-skinned Palestinian. Jesus comes up to those disciples and he gets down and he taps them and says, "Do not be afraid." He touches them. He kneels down. "Get up and do not be afraid." And at that moment, all they could see was Jesus. And that was enough. Because God had told them, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And they were not afraid. What does Jesus have to say to us today? What are we listening for? Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid, because I am with you, and I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. I recently spoke with a woman who's been going through a lot of issues in her family and health issues, and she said, I can tell you this. I take comfort in my church, my congregation, the love that is here, the love I've felt. It helps get me through each day, the prayers, the love, the community of faith. San Marcos Lutheran, she said, is a place of love. Fear not, Jesus says, I am with you always. For those who are in Christ, we see the face of God in our neighbors. And our neighbors see the face of God in the likes of you and me. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we remember once again that it is Jesus Christ in whom God comes to each of us, stooping down, getting right in our face so that we can see God's love. Remembering that we cannot build a monument to God and we cannot keep God safe. We can also not escape the light that God will shed on our path. We cannot escape Emmanuel because God is with us. And God will find us in our homes and in our workplaces. God will find us at school and at play. God will find us when our hearts are broken and when we discover joy. God will find us when we run away from God and when we're sitting in the middle of what seems like hell. God in Jesus comes and will find us there. And will get on in our face and tap us on the shoulder and say, come on, get up, and do not be afraid. Get up, and do not be afraid.
Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Jesus, you do reveal yourself to us. You show us yourself in so many ways, showing us indeed that you are all-powerful, all-loving, all-compassionate. Help us to look for you, to seek you, to see you, and to believe. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus, you are the fulfillment of all of our hopes, our dreams, our desires. You are our purpose in life. Allow us to cherish you, enjoy you, long to be with you, and desire to remain with you. Lord, in your mercy. And Jesus, because you love us, because you reach out and touch us individually, we come before you now with the things that worry us and hurt us. We pray now for ourselves, our loved ones, and those around us in need of your grace, your mercy, your healing, your hope. We pray now either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. And we pray that you will be with Pastor Andreas Tode today as he is installed as the pastor of Carlton Hills Lutheran Church. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we bring before you this world that you love, this world that you came to save. We pray for all troubled areas of the world. We pray, Lord, for your peace and your solutions, your healing, your justice. Today we especially pray for Iran and Iraq, for Syria, for Turkey, for China, for all those suffering from the coronavirus. We pray for our own nation. We pray that we will be people of compassion and mercy, desiring to build bridges and to remember that you are Lord of all. We pray for all refugees, asylum seekers, immigrants, that they will find a place of solace, a hope, and a future. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, for the leaders of your church everywhere, and for us, we, the people of San Marcos Lutheran Church. Good and gracious Lord, lead us and give us the courage to follow. Lord, in your mercy, Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. We pray the prayers of our children. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for watching movies with my family and my house, my family, my friends, my parents. And we ask you, Lord, for your help for my family. We also ask for a playhouse and American Girl dolls. In the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And now let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Go in peace. Be the light of Christ.